Hello and welcome to another On the Hoof podcast for Vets in Practice. I'm Alison Braddock, Marketing and Business Development Manager for SRUC Veterinary Services. And today I am joined by Colin Mason, Centre Manager of Dumfries and Veterinary Investigation Officer. Hello, Colin.
Hello there. How are you getting on?
I'm very well. So what are we talking about today, Colin?
Well, a few weeks ago, I was lucky enough to join and speak at a meeting talking about robotic milking systems. And my brief for that meeting was to talk about managing lameness in robotic milking systems. And this was a farm advisory service meeting that we ran for dairy farmers in southwest Scotland. And I thought it was useful perhaps to pick up on some of those messages and use them as part of a podcast.
That's great. And it's always good to make the most of the good work that you're doing. So why is lameness such a big problem in automatic milking systems, or AMS, Colin?
Well, firstly, to say that lameness management is important for any dairy system.
Good point.
It is an area where, in general terms, really great progress is being made in the industry in terms of managing, preventing, controlling, detecting lameness. There's huge steps forward, pardon the pun, being made in terms of what we know and what we can do. And this is being adopted by the industry very positively. But there are a few specific things in relation to automatic milking systems. And the simple one, I suppose, is that we're not bringing the cows to the parlour. The cows are bringing themselves to the parlour and or to the robot in this particular case. And therefore, if they're lame, they're less likely to want to do that. And they're more likely to need to be fetched from wherever they're living and lying to come to be milked. And that cow incentive to be milked may be reduced, or is reduced very often in automatic milking systems. So anybody milking in these systems is considering their visit rates. How often are cows, and particularly high yielding cows, visiting the robot milker? And studies have shown that with a lame cow, there will be reduced visit rates. So probably about half a visit per day down on average compared to a non-lame cow. Less visits at night. And you know, what that means for the farmer is less production and more fetching. You know, you've got to go and find that cow and fetch her and bring her to the automatic milking system to be milked. We also know that these lame cows will have reduced rumination times, so they'll not digest and ruminate on their food as well as they should, and they'll have reduced feed times and reduced feeding bout numbers as well. So it's going to affect rumen function as well in a lame cow, and these things are perhaps slightly more exacerbated in a robotically milked system.
Thanks, Colin. So that's obviously a huge impact on things. So what can a vet set up with the farmer to reduce the incidence of lame cows?
Yeah, I think, and again, this applies to any system, but is even more important in a robotic mini milk system, but it applies to any dairy system at all, is first and foremost to have a really robust system to identify lame cows early. The abbreviation is used EDPET with regard to lameness treatment and management, which is early detection, prompt and effective treatment. And any dairy farm, and particularly a robotic milk dairy farm, needs to have a system in place to pick up the earliest signs of lameness possible. The reasons for that, pretty obvious. The quicker we identify a lame cow, or a very subtly lame cow that's having a reduced mobility, the quicker we can intervene, and the better the cure rate will be for the treatment and the intervention that's put in place. So it's really important to have that. And there are a whole range of systems in place, and this is probably an area where technology will help us and is helping us already going forward. And one of the advantages of robotic systems is that they're laden with technology. So at a very simple level, regular mobility scoring using a ROM score is a way of picking up the early cases of lameness or reduced mobility early. But to really make that work on a farm, then we need to be doing the ROM score very frequently. So every sort of couple of weeks. And if there is a system in place where you then identify your slightly higher score cows on that ROMs list early, and you've got a system in place to then get those cows and examine their feet and look at why they might be not walking as well as they should, then that really fulfills these EdPet criteria. What's happening, of course, a lot more now is that we're getting different monitoring systems, be they camera systems or be they sensor systems on the cow, that are picking up reduced mobility. And these sensor systems work really, really well at identifying early cases of reduced mobility. And then in a robotic system, you know, that can be linked to the exit to a robot. Cows can be automatically shed off for examination. And there's a lot of potential, I think, going forward with these different detection systems to really sort of fulfill those EdPet criteria and really get in there and intervene early. And, you know, what we've learned over the years, and there's lots of studies that have supported this, is that cure rates for early detection are significantly higher than for later detection. Makes perfect sense, but it really, really holds true for lameness.
Thanks, Colin. And we will, of course, put any useful links about EdPet, etc., in the notes for this podcast for anyone that wants to have some more information. So you've obviously talked about early detection of lameness, but coming on to the reasons for lameness, can you just talk us through the various reasons that cows become lame?
Yeah, it's really helpful to sort of classify them into, I suppose, three main areas for the causes of lameness, which then link into different risk factors. And moving on to prevention rather than treatment, you know, that's ultimately where we need to be. If we know the main causes and the main risks, then we can try to manage those in the cow's environment to try and reduce lameness prevalence overall. So we tend to group them into three main categories. One would be the claw horn lesions and solar ulceration. One would be white line disease. And the third would be skin disease, of which the principal cause would be digital dermatitis. And each of those three categories have different potential risk factors to look at, some of which are specific to automatic milking systems as well. And as an aside to that as well, it's always really, really good when assessing lameness in a dairy herd and working out where to go in terms of control and prevention strategies, is to use foot trimmer data. So if a farm is using a foot trimmer, is looking at the records that the foot trimmer generates and looking at the different classifications of lesions that are generated from that. So if we can put together the mobility score data, that gives us information on the degree of the problem. And then we can add in the foot trimmer data. We can look at what are the most common causes for a particular herd. And that really does help then drive the control strategies as much as possible.
Thanks, Colin. I think in your talk, you'd also looked at the use of a foot bath and some tips on the best practice. Can you talk us through that?
Yeah, so obviously foot bathing is one of the control strategies that links to skin disease, to digital dermatitis, and is an essential part of the program to manage digital dermatitis, which is present in most, if not all, dairy herds. And again, what we can achieve through foot bathing first and foremost is to stop and arrest the development of the very, very early digital dermatitis lesions, and hopefully stop them developing into more impactful lesions. And I suppose the other thing to add with foot bathing is that once you've got a lame cow with a significant digital dermatitis lesion, then we need to treat and manage that cow individually. There's no point in relying on a foot bath to cure that cow at that stage. She needs to be examined and treated as an individual case, just having a foot lifted, a foot examined, or a foot trimmed and treated as appropriate. So foot bathing is obviously really, really important in terms of how that works. And you know, we could do an entire podcast or series of podcasts on the digital dermatitis control and foot bathing. And there's some really, really good resources available, particularly through AHDB. So I would always reference the Healthy Feet program and AHDB in terms of really good resources for lameness control, and also working with mobility mentors in that system to help advise. But some key things with foot bathing is, first and foremost, is it long enough, the bath? And what we really want it to be is long enough that each foot takes at least two steps in the bath to allow contact between whatever chemical is in the bath and the actual foot itself. So 4 meters long or greater is really, really helpful there. Is the area before they go into the bath and after they come out of the bath clean? Because that's really, really important. And also, are the baths being changed regularly enough? And is the chemical being changed regularly enough? A guide there is a cow per litre. So depending on how many cows you put through it, you need to then change that depending on the size of your foot bath. But there's some really, really good guides, again, through AHDB for how quickly you should change the bath, and also looking at concentrations as well. So in automatic milking systems, obviously the sighting of the foot bath is really, really critical, because it needs to be put in place usually where cows exit the automatic milker. That needs to be done in such a way as it won't impede cow flow. It's going to still allow for good cow flow. It's going to be easy to change the solution and to clean down the foot bath as needed. And it's going to allow for cows to move easily away from an automatic milking system if they need to. So there's quite a bit of thought and design needs to go into where you place the foot bath in relation to the automatic milking system, and also how you move cows around that automatic milking system. And I'll come back to that a little bit later on as well. The other thing with any foot bath is how deep the solution is in the bath. And really what we're talking about is 10 to 12 centimeters deep, so it covers the whole foot and right the way up to the accessory digits of the foot, so that we've got all the key areas of the foot covered with the chemical solution that's being used.
So Colin, what are the main risk factors for sole ulcers in the dairy cow?
Yeah, so solar ulceration remains one of the key causes of lameness in any dairy system. And again, as I've said, I would always refer back to reviewing your foot trimming results and foot trimming data to work out what the main risk factors are for any individual herd. But there's certainly some key things to consider with solar ulceration. A lot of it relates to lying times. What we're really wanting our cows to do is to be lying down, chewing the cud and ruminating for around about 12 plus hours a day, something like that. And what we also want them to do is to lie down, not for long times, but for numerous short bouts throughout the day, adding up to around about 12 hours per day. So lying times are really, really important to get the weight off the feet and allow for good rumination. Therefore, cubicle design, cubicle management are critical for that. And in particular, the lying surface itself, making that as comfortable as possible for cows. And very often, if you do preference tests for cows in terms of the surfaces that they want to lie on, that's the key determinant for where they'll choose to go. So deep bedding, deep sand bedding is probably the ideal, but you know, various mats and mattress systems to give the cows padding, really important to try and maximize lying times. And again, some of the data that we get from robotic systems with cows with sensors on is that we know what the lying times are, and we know if they're going up or they're going down. What are the other really, really key areas at, or some of the key points for the summer is the effect that heat stress has on lying times, and this is really, really vital, because what we know is that hot cows tend to stand up for longer to dissipate that heat. It's easier for them to dissipate heat when they're stood up, and therefore the lying times drop in the summer, and we expect, unfortunately, that will lead to an increase in clawhorn disease sometime later on in the lactation. And therefore we see a peak in clawhorn disease in the autumn and early winter as a result of heat stress that's occurred in the summer. So for automatic milking systems where most cows are housed and housed in the summer, it's really, really important going forward to consider the temperature humidity index in the shed, the degrees of heat stress and how we mitigate that. And I think if you reference back to a previous podcast, we've covered a lot of the chat around heat stress and heat stress management, which is a really important thing. Another area for managing clawhorn disease, there's lots to talk about here, but managing inflammation systemically and in the foot, and particularly managing inflammation around calving, is really, really important to reduce the risk of clawhorn disease. And there's been some really, really interesting research that's been done on the use of anti-inflammatories, particularly around calving and particularly in heifers, for reducing the risk of lameness in the subsequent lactation. And lactation's plural, actually. And you know, if you're listening to this podcast, one thing perhaps to talk about is the use of anti-inflammatories around about calving to improve cow health and welfare in general, but also to reduce lameness risks specifically.
Thanks, Colin. So we've looked at ulcers and clawhorn disease. What are the risk factors for controlling white line disease?
This is particularly important in automatic milking systems because one of the big risk factors with white line disease is lots of sharp turns, twists and turns, and turning forces on the foot. And there's advantages and disadvantages of that with automatic milking systems. One of the big advantages, I suppose, is that we're not putting cows through a collecting yard system to milk them through a milking parlour. And in those systems, that's very often where the twisting and turning forces occur, particularly if you've got a lot of cows in a small area waiting to be milked. So we get rid of those issues or reduce those risks with automatic milking systems, but we still create circumstances where cows might be standing around for some time in the sort of waiting area to be milked through a robot. And particularly subordinate cows might stand back and they might wait, and other cows might dominate those areas at times. So it's an interesting exercise in terms of cow flow around the feeder, around the milker rather, and also where cows then take a sharp turn, perhaps through directed traffic out of an automatic milking system, can potentially also risk an increased level of white line disease. So I think it's always really, really important to walk the sheds from a cow's perspective, consider the cow flow that's been generated. Quite a lot of automatic milking systems will direct cows from the milker to the feed area before they can lie down. So we're controlling their traffic a little bit more in automatic milking systems, depending on the setup. Therefore, I think it's really important to look at areas within that journey that a cow will make where they may be asked to take quite sharp turns. And if we've got areas where they're doing that, is to increase the floor padding, perhaps through rubber matting in some of those areas where they're making sharp turns, so that we can reduce the forces on the foot.
That's interesting, Colin. It's easy to walk around as a human being and not have a consideration of a four-legged cow, heavy in milk. So do you have any key take-home messages for vets in practice going out on farm?
There's obviously lots of things to consider, and really this podcast is just scratching the surface of the subject. And again, I would refer you very much to initiatives like the Healthy Feet Programme, ROMS mobility scoring, a lot of the resources that are available through that, and the two main foot trimming agencies, so the Cattle Hoof Care Standards Board and the National Association of Cattle Foot Trimmers, to, you know, really holistically look at lameness from all perspectives, because it's so crucial to how these herds perform. But main thoughts would be, if we can't measure it, we can't manage it, a commonly used phrase, but we really need to know the extent of lameness that we're dealing with, and really, really, really know the risk factors and the causes, or rather the causes and the risk factors. Prompt detection early and effective treatment is just so vital in automatic milking systems, as is a visual inspection of the cows and walking those cows regularly to see the problem cows and if necessary, fetch them. Analyzing foot trim records, as I've said, to prioritize key areas for control, managing cow flow and turning forces, really, really important in automatic milking systems, managing cubicle hygiene and the hygiene of the cow's foot, really, really important for digital dermatitis control in these systems, and also really, really important for mastitis and cell count control in automatic milking systems as well. Environmental hygiene and foot hygiene, really, really important. And then just consider best practice for foot bathing, for foot bath placement, how often the chemical is changed, and how often indeed we need to do that foot bathing to keep digital dermatitis under control.
Thanks very much, Colin. That's been really useful, and we'll publish that podcast along with useful links on the notes. So thanks, Colin, and I'll speak to you soon.
Thanks very much.